Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
There's a particular kind of silence that lives in old houses at night. The heavy quiet that seems to press against the ears, waiting. 16-year-old Sammy had grown used to that silence. Portland's winter nights were long and damp, and Sammy liked to wander the house after everyone else was asleep. He said he'd always been able to feel when a room wasn't quite empty, though he laughed it off as paranoia. He didn't believe in God, didn't pray, but he believed there was more to the world than what most people let themselves admit. He'd felt it before. The way the air in a doorway can feel charged, the way certain corners of a room seem to hold their breath. His father called it an overactive imagination. Sammy called it being logical. If he felt it and saw signs, there had to be something behind it. The first incident that stuck with him happened 3 or 4 years earlier, back when he was still small enough to raid the kitchen at midnight without switching on the light. He'd always liked the dark, said it made him feel hidden, like part of the house itself. His friend Tiffany, whenever she visited, would shuffle through the hall at night muttering, "I can't see. How do you even do this?" But Sammy could. He said the shadows felt natural. That night he padded into the kitchen for a snack or maybe a drink. He can't quite remember and was just about to leave when a scream tore through the quiet. It wasn't a startled gasp or a neighbor's distant shout. It was the yell of a young man, sharp and ragged with pain, close enough that it made Sammy stop cold in the middle of the room. For a heartbeat, he couldn't tell if it had come from above him or right beside his ear. He froze, the hair on his arms standing on end. Seconds later, his father came around the corner. Sammy's first words were, "Was that you? Did you yell?" His father blinked at him. "What?" "No." The look in his father's eyes told him enough. Whatever he'd heard hadn't come from anyone still living in the house. He didn't know how he knew, but the voice had sounded young, desperate, as if it belonged to someone in trouble. The memory stayed with him, a single scream suspended in the dark like a flare that burned out before help could arrive. His father blamed horror movies, said Sammy was spooking himself. Sammy almost believed it, except for how real it had felt, the way the sound had vibrated in the air around him. He couldn't shake the thought that he might have heard the last cry of someone who'd met a violent end long before. Months passed, and life slid back into the ordinary rhythms of school and late-night snacks. Then came another kitchen encounter, different but just as vivid. It was an ordinary weekend evening. The light over the sink was on, the TV in the living room hummed quietly. His half-brother Mark was visiting, a heavy-footed kid whose every sprint through the hallway usually rattled the floorboards. Sammy was leaving the kitchen when something flickered at the edge of his vision. There's a bookcase that marks the threshold between the kitchen and the living room. There's a narrow gap where you can glimpse whoever's passing on the other side. Through that gap, Sammy caught the blurred shape of a boy dashing past, quick enough to be a dark streak. He assumed it was Mark and stepped around the bookcase to see what he was up to. But Mark was already halfway down the hall, heading toward the bathroom, ambling at his usual slow pace, as though he'd just come out of Sammy's room. There had been no pounding footsteps, no rush of air, just that sudden flash of a boy-sized shadow slipping past the kitchen wall. Sammy's stomach knotted. The figure he'd seen couldn't have been Mark. Whoever or whatever it was had vanished in the heartbeat it took Sammy to turn the corner. When he told his father about it, the answer was the same as before. Imagination, tricks of the light. But Sammy kept replaying the detail in his head. How the shadow had moved as though it had purpose, how it had seemed to hurry away from him. For a while, things went quiet again, or at least quiet enough for a teenager to forget about ghosts. School filled the nights with homework. MSN Messenger filled the rest with the kind of late-night chatter that only really matters when you're 16. It was during one of those nights, nearly a year later, that the third and strangest encounter began. He was at the computer in his bedroom, headphones off so he could hear the soft ping of incoming messages. His friend list was alive with green icons, old classmates, new friends, a girl he'd just reunited with who was quickly becoming more than a friend. The glow of the monitor was the only light in the room. At first, it was nothing more than a flicker of white mist at the edge of his vision, right where the door frame stood in shadow. Every time he turned his head, the mist was gone. It happened again the next night and the next, always when he was alone at the screen. He scolded himself under his breath, "Knock it off! You're seeing things again." For days it teased him that way, appearing only when he wasn't looking straight at it. He tried to ignore it until one night his patience snapped. He turned his head sharply and glared at the spot as if daring it to be real. This time it didn't dissolve, it gathered. It began as a pale thread of vapor, no thicker than the rim of a glass, clinging to the door frame like the last curl of breath on a winter morning. Sammy watched unmoving as the thread thickened. His glare faltered. The pale wisp wasn't fading. It was gathering, drawing itself in from the edges of the shadows. At first he thought it was a trick of his tired eyes, the way the glow from the monitor sometimes haloed against the dust in the air. But the light of the screen stayed steady while the mist began to swell upward as if the darkness itself were condensing into something with weight. It was faintly green, not a bright neon green, but the muted glow of sea glass seen underwater. It clung to the air like smoke that wouldn't drift. In the dimness, he could make out the rough shape of shoulders, a narrow torso, a head that tilted slightly, as though studying him in return. He could not see a face, only the hollow impression of one. The figure looked lean, almost lanky, and at one point he was sure he saw the suggestion of a long ponytail hanging past where the shoulder should have been. The rest of it seemed incomplete, legs either hidden in the dark or simply not there. Whatever it was forming, not floating, its edges sharpening the longer he stared. A chill spread through Sammy's chest and down his arms until his fingers felt stiff on the keyboard. He realized he'd been holding his breath. For a moment, the whole room felt heavier, as though the air between him and the door had turned to glass. That was when he felt the eyes. He couldn't see them, but the weight of their stare was unmistakable, a sensation that pinned him to the chair. It wasn't cruel or mocking. It felt analytical, almost curious, like something trying to measure what kind of person was sitting there in the blue light of the monitor. Sammy had always thought of himself as brave enough to handle the unknown if he ever faced it. In that moment, he discovered the limit of that bravery. A wave of heat drained from his face, his skin prickled cold. The logical part of his mind whispered that he was simply overtired, that he should blink and the image would dissolve. So he blinked, and blinked again. The figure didn't waver. If anything, it sharpened. The pale green shimmer along what should have been a collarbone brightened just enough to catch his eye. That tiny detail of the proof of a shape, where no shape should be, finally broke his resolve. He turned away from the door in a sharp, deliberate motion, and fixed his gaze on the computer screen as if he could bury himself in the scrolling lines of the chat window. He brushed a few strands of hair down across his temple so they blocked the edge of his vision. It was childish but effective. He refused to glance back at the doorway for the rest of the night. His pulse stayed high for hours. Messages from friends scrolled by, jokes, links, emojis, all of it strangely distant against the background hum of dread. Somewhere behind him, the doorway stood open, the mist figure either gone or still standing there unseen. The next morning, he told himself it had to have been a trick of the light combined with his own paranoia. For several days after, he kept expecting the shimmer to return, glancing sidelong at the door every time he passed. But the doorway remained empty, just a door frame with peeling paint and a thin strip of shadow. As the weeks went on and nothing else happened, the terror faded into a kind of regret. He hadn't seen legs, hadn't seen a face, hadn't spoken a word. And now, in the safety of daylight, he wondered if he'd turned away too soon. The figure had not radiated any sense of anger. If anything, it had seemed patient. He told his best friend about the incident, describing the way the mist had thickened and the eerie green glow that gathered like breath on glass. She listened quietly, then said something that lingered with him. "I doubt you were ready." Maybe it knew that. Maybe that's why it left you alone. The comment settled over him like a verdict. He could almost believe that the presence had been trying to reach out, that it had backed away out of courtesy when it realized the sight of it had pushed him past his courage. For the first time since the encounter, he allowed himself to wonder who it might have been. A stranger's soul passing through? A resident spirit tied to the old Portland house? Or someone more specific? The figure of a young woman he sometimes felt near him, but had never seen? That last thought struck a quiet chord. He began to suspect the apparition might have been her, whoever she was, someone he felt might still be earthbound and in need of help. He couldn't explain why he felt this, only that the idea brought an odd mix of calm and determination. Part of him hoped she would appear again so he could prove to himself that he wasn't just a jumpy kid. Another part of him dreaded that wish might be granted. For now, the doorway stayed empty and the house returned to its usual creaks and sighs. For a while, the nights that followed were almost disappointingly ordinary. No green shimmer at the doorway, no quick shadows slipping past the bookcase, no whisper of a scream in the dark kitchen. But Sammy noticed something subtler, the way his thoughts kept circling back to that moment when the mist had begun to take shape. He replayed the scene like a clip on a loop, the pale light rising out of the corner of his vision, the breathless weight of invisible eyes measuring him from across the room. That memory carried its own gravity. Instead of terror, it brought a restless curiosity, a low-grade guilt that he hadn't stayed still long enough to find out who or what had tried to reach him. It wasn't a haunting in the usual sense. There were no rattling chains, no cold spots sweeping the hallway. It was a presence, intelligent enough to know when to leave. Sometimes, when the house was quiet and the computer monitor cast its glow against the walls, Sammy caught himself half expecting the figure to step through the door again. The anticipation alone was enough to quicken his pulse. He never told his father. The man's dismissive laugh still echoed in his memory from the night of the phantom scream. But with his best friend, just the one person who didn't roll her eyes, he allowed himself to wonder aloud if the spirit had unfinished business. He even gave the figure a tentative name, Her. There was no proof it was female, only the sense of a ponytail, the softness of the outline. Still, he thought of her as a woman whose story had been left untold. He imagined she might have been young when she died, perhaps tethered to the house or the land beneath it. He pictured her waiting for the courage of the living to match her own. Portland's older neighborhoods have their share of ghosts, and Sammy had grown up hearing fragments of local legend. Old boarding houses, streetcar accidents, fires that gutted entire blocks a century ago. He began idly scrolling archives late at night, half hoping to find mention of a green-clad woman or an unexplained death near his street. Nothing ever matched, but the search itself made the figure feel more real, as if he were preparing to greet her properly if she chose to return. Weeks turned into months. The memory softened at the edges, the way vivid dreams fade into half-believed stories. Yet every now and then, as he crossed from the kitchen to the hallway, he'd glance toward the bookcase gap, the very place where he'd once seen the boy-shaped shadow dart past, and wonder if he was being watched from just out of sight. At night, he sometimes left the hallway light on, not out of fear so much as an unspoken invitation, a reminder that he was willing to see if the unseen wanted to be seen again. There's a certain loneliness to having experienced something extraordinary that no one else in the household believes. Sammy carried that loneliness quietly, wearing it like a private badge. He was still 16, still prone to the skepticism that teenagers use to shield themselves, but the part of him that felt rooms had only grown sharper since the encounters began. He could walk into a new place, a friend's basement, an empty classroom after school, and sense a subtle shift in the air that told him whether he was alone or not. More than once he thought about trying to speak aloud to the unseen woman, to say that if she was still there, he wasn't angry, and he wasn't afraid. not as afraid as he'd been that night. But each time he opened his mouth, the words died against the back of his throat. It felt strange to talk to a doorway. His best friend teased him gently, saying, "I still don't think you're ready." Maybe she knows that. Maybe she's waiting for you to grow up a little first. Sammy laughed it off, but he suspected she was right. The idea that the dead could show such restraint, that they could weigh the living's readiness before stepping forward, made the whole experience feel eerily human. On certain evenings, he caught himself rehearsing what he'd say if the apparition appeared again. An awkward greeting, maybe an apology for turning away. He imagined asking if she needed help, if she was stuck here, or simply curious about the boy at the computer. Sometimes, lying awake in the small hours, he pictured her still standing silently at the threshold, studying him with unseen eyes, wondering if this time he'd keep his courage long enough to meet her gaze. The night never came. The doorway stayed empty, the mist never returned, and life went on with the usual teenage distractions, school, friends, late-night chats glowing in the dark. But the story never really left him. It lingered the way a half-finished conversation lingers, unfinished sentences hanging in the air. Years from now, he might still look back at that night as the moment that split his sense of the world in two, before he believed and after. And somewhere in the unseen corners of the house, maybe a patient spirit still waits for the boy who once turned away from her out of fear, hoping that when he's ready, he'll finally look back. Because if there's one thing Sammy has learned, it's that some presences don't always leave. Sometimes they simply wait for you to find the courage to face them. Standing just past the edge of sight in the space between the glow of a monitor and the dark of a half-open door.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.